Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Good to have you with us. Thank you for choosing us this morning. I appreciate it. Joining us now by phone, we have Lisa Newell, publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. Hey, Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. It's wonderful to talk to you today.
Always good to have you. Somebody destroyed the Gulf Breeze Police Department?
That's right. Intentionally, someone came in and demolished it. Actually, it's all part of the whole program. They're going to be moving into their new location, which is going to be on the campus there with the fire department that they already have on Fairpoint Drive. And it is going to be much needed because the one that they had was just sort of designed like a home. It was very small. They had a lot of people sharing offices. They were really on top of each other. So this new building is going to be much more modern. It's going to have more parking. It's going to actually be have enough room to bring some of the other city services in there, such as utility billing, and give this police department some room to breathe. So we are looking forward to having that grand opening, hopefully in the next, I'm not sure when this, I don't think they've set the grand opening yet, but we're going to definitely be there to take a look at it and see what all, you know, all the new amenities. So very exciting, and I'm sure they were very glad to get rid of that old one.
Yeah, I'm sure. Finally. Thank goodness. We also have a story about the backpack program for kids. Is that right?
Well, school is back in, and, you know, everything starts ramping up. And, of course, a lot of the kids who we have 120 kids in the Gulf Breeze school system who get these backpacks, get backpacks full of food every Friday. Actually, it's bags they put in their backpacks to help tide them over, you know, through the weekend. After the program started here, I know that it spun off into some other areas. So I think there are other locations. I know in Navarre they have another program that serves a lot of kids. These programs are great. They supply enough breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks to help them get through the weekend because, you know, I want these kids to be hungry. And they're always looking for volunteers, always looking for donations to help them purchase the food, and as you know, food costs have gone up.
Yeah.
So they're looking for people to help them with that as well. And it's just a great way to help kids stay, you know, stay ahead of the game.
Well, it's, I mean, whenever this topic comes up, it's just, it's so hard to wrap your brain around it if you live even, you know, moderately well, because it's hard to imagine that there are kids out there who don't have food at home for the whole weekend. You know, it's just, and or even don't have, maybe have a little bit, but not really enough. And, you know, how can you be a student? How can you grow properly? How can you study without the energy? Just sort of all of that chronic hunger stuff is just, it's just atrocious to think about. And that's why I love that our community steps up for this. You guys also have a story about a pig?
We have been following the fate of this pig that showed up. It somehow got loose from its owner, was wandering around the city of Gulf Breeze, mainly in the Plantation Hill area and over by Andrews Institute. Then it decided it found its perfect home, which was on the campus of St. Francis of Assisi Episcopal Church, which is also the same location where they have where they have the senior center. So there's someone there all day. And so this pig found this location and just, you know, took a residence there. Well, there's no, you're not supposed to have livestock anywhere in the city. So people tried to take, you know, tried to capture the pig, but it was always just so elusive. They couldn't find it.
They're fast little buggers. Yeah, all right.
Yes. And it wasn't even greased or anything. But they were trying to catch it. Nobody could catch it. So they said, well, you know, I guess we'll just name it Francis after St. Francis, the patron saint of animals.
Who loved animals, yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Hoping that maybe the owner would, you know, would see this and come get the pig. But they never did. So eventually, this week, a person who lives up in Milton lured Francis using his piggish nature by, you know, providing a trail of food into an enclosure. And then they were able to capture him and take him to a farm. And they said, we will not make this into any kind of food product. We'll just let him live out his life on our 5 acres.
Aww.
So we're very happy that he has found his place, although I know a lot of people, including some of the children who go to school or go to church at St. Francis, and the people who go to the senior center, they're going to miss Francis. They have enjoyed looking at him, feeding him. They gave him a little pool. He can
needs
cool
an
off
Instagram
in.
Channel. He definitely needs to be on Instagram.
I know.
That, and what I love about that story is you can say to somebody, no, he really is having a better life off on the farm. I mean, that's really happening.
Yeah, that's great.
It's really happening.
See how I made it worse? Yeah. All right. Well, all kinds of stuff in the paper. Gulf Breeze will do. Gridiron Gurus, the first week of football coming up. A membership drive for Gulf Breeze will do. Cool stuff being done for seniors. Splash is inside. It's on the newsstand. So, man, the paper is always chock full. And but you know what? Everybody's going to be talking about that pig. That's what I love about the paper, because that is like the perfect Gulf Breeze story. I love it so much. Lisa Newell, publisher of the Gulf Breeze News, thanks as always for the time and for keeping us informed and a little bit entertained. I love your joke about that. He wasn't even greased. That's great.
Have a great one. I'll see you in the breeze.
All right. 8:16 here on News Radio 92.3. In just a couple minutes, we're going to connect with Eric Gilmore, who is embedded in the aftermath of Hurricane Idalia, and we'll get a direct word from him about what he's dealing with and what he's seeing and how serious the damage was. Right now, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing a lot. There is a stalled vehicle, as I understand, stalled vehicle on Fairfield, and it's blocking the right lane on Fairfield Drive eastbound, just past the railroad trestle. That's near Hollywood Avenue. Taking a look around, we're also seeing Hancock and Duchess Road showing an accident with no roadblock. W and Beverly showing an accident with no roadblock. And if it's so funny.
Did you see the picture of the pig?
Yes.
Somebody said, yeah, somebody sent us a picture of Francis. It's the most adorable pig. He's a little gray, furry. You know, I'd put him at about 20 pounds if I had to take a guess based on the picture. Maybe a little bit more, but yeah. And this texter says, I play guitar for him all the time at the senior center.
Oh, that's so sweet. The big black pig. They're so cute.
God, oh, no. Oh, best joke, though. Somebody texted in. So the pig's name is Sir Francis Bacon?
Wow. There's somebody else making
that's
stuff.
That's a rasher of comedy right there.
So
all right.
If you have traffic tips, text them in. Or, you know, pig stuff. That's funny, too. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you're
nice. Thank you.
You're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy good quality used cars. And when I say good quality, I mean that. I don't mean like, you know, they're taking the 15-year-old car and trying to spruce it up a little bit. And, you know, it's not that kind of place. It's literally cars that are a year or two or maybe 3 years old. Like, we bought our Odyssey there. It was 1 year old with 12,000 miles. Got it from an auction that came from Orlando where they, you know, it was a 1 year lease that had come back to the dealer and the dealer couldn't sell it. So we got a sweet deal because Frontier went to Orlando to buy a car. I mean, like, that's what they do. They'll go find cars for you. They've got, of course, a huge selection on the lot, about 300. And it really is almost new, like cars that are almost new in great shape. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Thinking about upgrading your home with durable floors that's pet-proof, waterproof, and comes with a lifetime warranty? Hurry in to Vinyl Plank for Less. They're clearing out inventory to make room for new arrivals. Save big, up to 15% off their everyday low prices with purchase of professional installation, and make your dream floor more affordable with their 12-month zero financing option. Shop today, because this sale ends September 9th. Located on Highway 31 in Spanish Fort and Glover Lane in Milton. Vinyl Plank for Less, turning houses into homes, one plank at a time.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between, you have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number.
Don't miss our Labor Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Labor Day.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 821 News Radio 92.3. Let's go now to Lafayette County, Florida, where we have Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County, embedded at the EOC, running hurricane and disaster response. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me. And by the way, since I've been here, you and I thought it was pronounced Lafayette. It is not. It's Lafayette.
Stop it.
We've been saying it wrong.
Come on, Lafette.
That's what the locals tell me, Lafette.
This is gonna be like saying DeSantis on the air, which is correct, but everybody will think you don't know what you're talking about.
Do you think they're messing with you?
Is what? That possible?
I hope not. Lafette. I don't know. I hope not. I'm too someone to be messed with right now.
I can't even. Okay, fine though. But fine. Lafette County. You heard it here first. Wow. Okay. I'm going to ask you, but kind of when I've been surveying this from a distance, it seems like dodged a bullet kind of stuff. Like for the people who lost their homes, it's horrible, but it doesn't seem like there were that many. It's a rural area. It's distance from the water, the surge. You know, it looks, and nobody died, which thank God, except for in some semi-unconnected traffic accidents. I'm assuming it's horrible for them, though, because they don't have experience at this, but I've been kind of describing it as could have been a lot worse, not like Ian last year. Am I wrong?
No, it could have been a lot worse. It really could have. Like you said, these are real rural counties, okay? So, you know, there's limited resources to begin with, and now that the power's out and roads are blocked and they're cut off, there's really nothing for them here now. So, these people have, you know, talking to the residents here, we're opening a pod today. I mean, we're less than 24 hours from landfall, and we opened a pod this morning with food, ice, MREs, tarps, and they've never had a pod here. So we're having to explain and train what a pod is, how the citizens should, you know, we're training the citizens how to run through a pod, what a pod does, and the locals how to do a pod. We're teaching burn rates. So we're doing a lot of training on how to set these things up and how these things should be managed. So, but like I said, they're shell-shocked because, I mean, they never had a storm this magnitude. If everybody will kind of, you know, Ivan impacted us real way. You know, Ivan was our shell shock. I mean, we kind of deforested places, tore a lot of stuff up. There's some structural damage here, but it is, you know, it's not a densely populated area. And then on top of it, the county that we're in, Lafayette County, they have one municipal water service in the town of Mayo, services maybe 5 to 10 square miles. And then the rest of the unincorporated county is on their own wells. So okay. I got no power. I've got no water. So that's the issue. So power coming up is kind of paramount to getting things back to full recovery here.
Wow. You know, I didn't really know much about the geography or the structures in that vicinity, but, you know, I was looking at, was it Steen Camps? What's the one place? And then also down the way at the Cedar Key. Cedar Key looked to me like it was not built up and like they would be much more vulnerable. I know that's not exactly where you are, but have you heard anything about there?
Yeah, they did get inundated with water. I think they got around 5 to 6 feet of water inundation there. They was anticipating more, but Steen Hatchie is the one I think you were
referencing. Yeah, Steen Hatchie, that's right.
Steen Hatchie south of us, Steve Hatchie South of us, we was actually, they had a webcam up and we was watching the surge come in, and some of the buildings that the locals here knew about, they was telling me where the water line was. That was up 12 feet at that moment, about that roof line before the camera went out. So they really got hammered with storm surge down there at Steve Hatchie. You know, it's the Big Bend area. It's a cul-de-sac. You know, we're on the Gulf Coast where it can kind of spread out across the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
It just pockets and corners right there and builds. So the rain wasn't a big event. I mean, we got 2 inches of rain out of the whole thing. So wind was the big thing here where we're at. We're not a coastal county. So storm surge wasn't that, you know, didn't impact us at all. So we're dealing with, you know, the trees, the power lines, roofs missing. I mean, after Ivan, you think about, took us a while to get recovered, but all the new roofs that got put on, all the new type construction, the new codes, and new enforcement. And if you've never been impacted, you've got all these old structures with these old roofs, and they go fine. So,
yeah, which is kind of the point, because they had never encountered anything like this, so they were completely unprepared for it. The governor had made the comment. Actually, hang on for me for just a second. We're talking to Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety. He's in Lafette County. Yes, that's how you say it. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Stalled car. Now we're all like, stalled car block in the right lane on Fairfield Drive. That's eastbound, just past the railroad trestle near Hollywood Avenue. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Eric. I know the governor had made the comment that one of the things is that it seemed like a lot of people obeyed the evacuation order. Given that people hadn't had experience with this and didn't really know what to do, and it might have been the first time in their lives they were told to prepare for 7 days or anything, you know, like that. Was that what you guys saw on the ground? Is it a lot of people evacuated?
We have noticed that a lot of people have evacuated. The county that we're in and we're helping out is so small, they did not even have a shelter that was rated for the wind speed that we was anticipating.
Wow.
So the residents here had to go to a neighboring county to shelter out of harm's way. We don't know how many of our residents here went to Suwannee County, but we're trying to get that head count today to get an understanding of how many people might be coming back to the county. We have seen some, I have heard that some residents took it serious. Unfortunately, what we're hearing is they took it serious at the last moment. I mean, it was like up until yesterday morning, early yesterday morning, people calling the EMC here, should I evacuate? That morning of impact. So, I mean, we're starting to see tropical storm force winds, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I guess one part of the good news here is at least they had a sturdy EOC. You know, if they didn't have everything else, at least they had that, right?
The EOC stood up well. It lost a couple of singles or covered our vehicles. But, I mean, other than that, the EOC it stood up, lost a couple of singles. The generator's rocking, so we're on generator power. It's everything's working like it should right now, and we got a lot of resources coming in. So today is, we're cat herding. We're taking those resources, we're cat herding, and we're trying to make sure that we're managing the resources appropriately and get them to the areas that are absolutely needed.
I think it seems like one of the genius things. I don't know who came up with it, whether it was our emergency director for the state of Florida or whatever, Kevin Guthrie. But I mean, it seems like the genius move was sending you guys in, because you know how to do this, have done it, have overseen it, have the experience. Are you getting the support you need? Are you getting the cooperation you need? Is it working as well as it can work?
Oh, absolutely. No, it absolutely is. And understanding their level here local, their understanding of emergency management and how these things work. We do, when Tallahassee asked us to go, we said, no problem, we'll be happy to go. I mean, we've got experience, right?
Yeah.
We've done this before. And being downrange, it seems like every time I pick that phone up or I make a call, I mean, think about it. We are opening a pod up here in the middle of nowhere, less than 24 hours from landfall.
Amazing.
How crazy is that? I mean, that's a lot of commodity. We've got, like I said, we're tarps and reeds, and we're distributing to two remote locations with the National Guard. I had 150 National Guardsmen here yesterday to help out. So no, Tallahassee has been like, what do you need? And they're getting it to me in a timely manner. And I told them, I said, if it's Gambia County, knock on whatever gets impacted again, I better get this type of service. So anyway.
Owed. Definitely owed. Well, anything else?
Absolutely.
anything else that I didn't ask you? Is this the kind of situation where people are going to, need to give? Is this going to be like a lot of volunteers coming in after the first wave of official response? What are we looking at long range here? We've got about 30 seconds, Eric.
No, absolutely. So recovery, long range will be cleanup. A lot of homes, a lot of people who are unfortunately not able to go clean their homes up, get a tree off the roof or something like that. So volunteering. So if you want to volunteer, come down, get with a civic group or get with a Baptist charity or one of those charities that come in and do that type of work. Good. And organize to the local EOC. That way we can put you on a mission. Hey, I did want to plug one thing for you. I have Tom Tollbridge here from Santa Rosa County.
Yeah.
So he's been great with Travis and myself. So we got Santa Rosa representation here. And we had two Santa Rosa dispatchers come in this morning to help us out with dispatching. And then the sheriff, Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is actually here as well. And then Escambia Fire Rescue, they deployed this morning. They're in Madison County doing search and rescue in Madison County.
So you're the best, Eric. Thank you for the time, brother.
Fox News.
Thank you,
I'm Therese Crowley. Tropical storm Idalia spinning 60-mile-an-hour wind and rain across North Carolina with a 1 to 4 foot storm surge on its way out. Power is out to 50,000 in the Carolinas, 100,000 in Georgia, with big progress from 30,000 utility crews in Florida.
We've since restored 370,000 power to customers.
Governor Ron DeSantis, 150,000 still out, including 99% near the Big Bend landfall, getting a look at damage to homes swamped or collapsed. President Biden promising FEMA help and says he trusts his presidential rival, Ron DeSantis.
I think he trusts my judgment and my desire to help. And I trust him to be able to suggest that this is not about politics. It's about taking care of the people of the state.
But Biden admits he doesn't know if FEMA will have money to cover all the current disasters. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 78 degrees right now. Partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. A 64-year-old man is dead after a hit-and-run crash on North Pace Boulevard yesterday. FHP says that happened near Loretta Lane. A vehicle reportedly hit a pedestrian, then fled. That pedestrian was pronounced dead at the scene of that crash, and troopers say that they were provided a video that showed a gray or silver SUV. They say that that vehicle would have some significant damage on the front end. And if you have any information or you've seen a vehicle matching that description, you're asked to contact FHP at 850-484-5000, or you can call Crime Stoppers if you'd like to remain anonymous. A lot of questions, not a lot of answers. After that deadly shooting at the Essex Point Apartments yesterday, Sheriff Chip Simmons says a 15-year-old girl was talking to her mother and her mother's fiancé that morning.
According to the mother, there was no argument, no disturbance. She just pulled out a handgun and started firing at them while they were in bed.
Simmons says Sunshine Grace James now is charged with first-degree murder after allegedly shooting at her mother and her mother's fiancé. He was hit, taken to a local hospital where he died. James was arrested later at Rio Grande Circle after allegedly fleeing that apartment. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office sending a 17-member strike team to the Big Bend area to help with Idalia. Sheriff Eric Aiden says they're heading to Lake City, where they'll be helping to assess damage.
We're in the Gulf of Mexico here. We're oftentimes target of these hurricanes. We've had our share of luck, and we certainly hope that continues. But we're ready to help our partners, but they will be ready to stand with us in the event that we need it.
And they'll be bringing along ATVs, Bobcats, trailers, and other equipment as well. Idalia taking a bit of a toll on gas prices ahead of Labor Day weekend, but AAA's Mark Jenkins says, a lot like the storm, could have been worse. It marks the switch also from the summer to winter blend of fuel, and he says typically it's not a very traffic-heavy holiday.
Oftentimes for Labor Day weekend, we don't typically see people taking extended road trips because they have to be back on Tuesday for school and for work.
Port Tampa Bay, a major fuel hub for Central Florida, is open, but dealing with flooding, crews in Port Everglades are driving gas into the affected areas. Now, in Northwest Florida, it doesn't look like the storm really affected our gas prices much, if at all. AAA's average price for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties today at $3.53 per gallon. Former President Trump's copyright lawsuit against Bob Woodward now being moved out of Pensacola. According to the News Journal, federal judge M. Casey Rogers has ordered the case be moved to the Southern District of New York, saying the filing the case in Pensacola was wrong and improper. That lawsuit seeking damages of about $50 million after interviews that Woodward had with Trump for a book were released as an audiobook. Trump's lawyer said they filed the suit in Pensacola because Woodward and associated companies did business within the district. Woodward and his attorneys filed a motion to dismiss that suit. That'll have to be taken up by the New York court once the case is transferred. It's 8:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
A couple of things. Disabled vehicle in Escambia County. This is on I-10 westbound at mile marker 9. And I see another one. It's congestion on I-10 east from mile marker 8 to mile marker 9. Very slow eastbound. I-10 eastbound is slowing down just before the Car City exit. So it is backed up. And if you have traffic tips, by all means, of course, text them in at 437-1620. This is brought to you by HCA Florida Healthcare. Sharp stomach pain? Advice is here. Consult a nurse. Answers advice around the clock. Consult a nurse. That's HCA Florida Healthcare. They show up for you. Call 844-706-8773. It's free. And News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be a beautiful day with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain with a high near 94. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. Friday, rain chances increase with an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 78 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Secret offers, guaranteed returns, over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
It's 8:37, your money now. Our markets today are opening up. The Dow's up 166.74, 35.56.98. The S&P 500 up 10.04 at 45.24.91. The NASDAQ up 35.08 today at 14.54.40. Our 10-year bond rate is down just slightly at 4.1%. Gold prices today down $230 at $1,970.70. Silver prices also down a bit at $24.97. And if you're invested in Bitcoin, it's down $65.55 this morning at $27,175.50 right now. Jobless claims in the U.S. are at their lowest level, though, in 4 weeks. The Department of Labor says unemployment insurance claims for last week were 228,000. That's down 4,000 from the week before. Maybe, possibly, coming to a Taco Bell near you. They're testing Mountain Dew flavored gelato. That's apparently being released at a few limited stores in California, but could potentially be released nationwide. If it is, it'll cost $3. It's the first time Taco Bell's ever offered a gelato product. And Visa and MasterCard are planning to increase fees that many merchants pay when they accept their customers' credit cards. More from Aaron Real.
Credit card fee increases are scheduled to start in October and April, according to the Wall Street Journal. Many of the increases are for online purchases. The changes could result in merchants paying an additional $502 million annually in fees. Increases in network fees will make up a little more than half of the revenue. The rest will come from increases in interchange fees, also called swipe fees. Merchants pay these fees when shoppers pay via credit card. Visa, MasterCard, and big banks have said that the fees help cover the costs related to fraud prevention and innovation, while banks often use the money from interchange fees to fund credit card rewards programs. Aaron Real, NBC News Radio.
And it is 8:39, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News' Guy Benson takes over at 2. And join Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, pressing topic today for the frivolous. I don't know what we're gonna get. Okay. Do you sleep in public? 437-1620, 437-1620, by which I mean, you know, other than your bed or your couch, I assume some of you are couch sleepers, and if you're not, then you know something about me you didn't know 2 minutes ago.
I love couch sleeping.
Couch sleeping is the best. That's right. Although I do typically don't wake up feeling super refreshed, but I can't stop it either, so there it is.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Do you sleep outside of your house? Anywhere, ever. 437-1620, 437-1620. I imagine some people are like, anywhere I find it is where my nap happens. And other people are like, oh, no, do you know what could happen to me? So I'm curious, 437-1620, do you sleep anywhere outside? And where? Like, where would you? And do you have, like, standards? Are there, like, places I would sleep here, but I would not sleep there out in public? Like, okay, for example, I'll give you one for me. We go to the beach.
Yeah.
I'm in a chair. I'm lulled to sleep. 100%. I'm taking a little sun nap is what I'm doing right there. Just because I'm so sleep deprived all the time that if I'm sitting still, I'm falling asleep.
Right. Sure.
That's why I can't go sit in a meeting anymore and watch a meeting. I can listen to it on my headphones. I can watch it maybe on TV. Or I can cook and listen. But if I had to go just like be still for 3 hours, I mean, I'd be out cold and drooling on the tables. What would happen? So, Candy, do you? So, I will nap at the beach for sure.
I can nap anywhere if you set me in. I could fall asleep at a concert. That used to be my superhero power because you know how it is, like in radio. I mean, but you have news
things,
where
right.
you're, yeah, and even though it's music radio, it's still.
And it's weird because it's so loud, but sometimes it can be so loud that you don't care anymore. It's just so loud.
Yeah, once you're
like
used
noise,
to it. I've
right?
seen probably like you like a zillion concerts. You're just like, oh God, okay. Whenever you find your naps,
so you're
take
a concert
them.
Sleeper.
So, but I haven't been to a concert since before COVID. Like
yeah,
just
okay.
before COVID. It's been, yeah.
All right, 437.
I'm the same way.
Like, 437, 16, 20. I sometimes do involuntarily sleep in places. Just, you know, I used to always laugh at my stepdad and my grandma, and I'm like,
oh my God.
And here I am. and TV is the worst, you know, because it's at night. You know, I'm watching with my wife, and I mean, that's in our house on the couch or whatever, but you know, that's how I know it's time I got to go to bed because it's gotten to be 11:45 and I'm falling asleep. Okay, time to go to bed. 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody here says, only on the airport or only at the airport or in an airplane. Oh, that's an interesting one. I think some people can't fall asleep on an airplane because it's not comfortable.
I'm not one of those people.
It's the halfway sitting up, you know, and even when you recline back, it doesn't really work that well. But, you know, again, if you're good at sleeping, you can sleep almost anywhere. Although I don't really sleep on the airplane mostly because, I don't fly a lot anymore either, but I like to be on the aisle, and the aisle is the worst place because people are bumping you all the time,
yeah.
You know. 437-1620, let's see. If I fly for several hours, I try to get – but the airport – would you sleep at the airport?
Heck yeah.
Of course, yeah. My fear at the airport is that I won't wake up for the flight.
I always worry about that, too.
I know I'll get woken up on the airplane. I know I'm going to be safe there, but at the airport, I'm always like, wait, the what now? What day is it? Oh, no, this is bad for me. Somebody here says, if I fall asleep in public, it usually means I'm sick. Yeah. Hubby can take combat naps just about anywhere. Oh, that's a thing, too. I actually read an article about how to get more effective naps. I don't know that I agree with it exactly, but it was like written on military.com and is, you know, half hour, no more, you know, things like that. And how to get a better sleep at night is their general advice. Pfft, what's that all about? Somebody here says, I sleep in my truck at lunch. It's great. Oh, There's nothing like the back seat of the car to lay down. I mean, the front seat's not great, but the back seat, if you've got like any kind of a sedan or whatever.
And when it's cool and you roll down the windows.
Oh, I know. So my son used to do picking up like for Bright Futures, Spencer, when he was doing that. And he started doing it like kind of on his own. And so I'd drive him somewhere. We'd park. It'd be right after the show typically. Mm-hmm. And he'd go pick up trash for an hour and I'd sleep in the back seat. And with this, you know, the windows rolled down and the breeze coming through, and you know, when it's not too hot out,
it feels good.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it does. Feels super refreshed. Let's see. Somebody here says, sort of, on a long flight maybe, but not in an airport. In the car on a long trip as a passenger, that doesn't feel public. Oh no, that's true. Sleeping in the car is as like semi-public.
Sure.
Right? It's sort of halfway there. That's also one you don't want. If you're the driver, you don't want to be the involuntary car sleeper. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, it can be.
Pass that duty. Pass that duty off somebody else. Does it count if I'm staying at my girlfriend's house? Well, is that public? The answer is probably no. Someone here says, working at the airport, folks sleep hard all the time and miss their flights.
Oh,
don't
goodness.
Tell me that.
Oh, goodness.
Now I'm terrified to ever do that again. Really? Oh, that's so set an alarm on your phone.
That's a good idea.
Is the way to do it. But I'd be worried that I'd be that guy. I'd be like, I slept through my flight. No, bad for me. 8:45 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And this is why it's backed up on I-10. I-10 eastbound at mile marker 8. There is a vehicle crash and it is blocking. Again, it's backed up for maybe a mile or two and very slow behind that, certainly. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, it's weird. You know where I wouldn't sleep? I wouldn't sleep in a park.
In a park?
I would feel not safe.
No, I wouldn't sleep in a park.
I'm at the beach and there's all these people around and my family's typically around. That doesn't worry me, but like at a park kind of by yourself, I would not.
Like every park I've been to, like there's always panhandlers now. Yeah. So I just worry that, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, ma'am.
Most of them are fine, but hey, some of them may not be.
And, yeah, and most, yeah, right.
This the person who said they work at the airport, he says, I wake people up all the time.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Doing
it's
a public
terrifying.
Service.
Yeah.
In the waiting area at the department store while my wife's trying 50 different pieces of clothing. I'm out like a light. Well, that is a supportive husband is what that is. That's fantastic. I used to have an 80-mile commute one way on some days. I could remember getting in my car and arriving at work and nothing in between. No drugs, no alcohol, but I cannot guarantee I was awake the whole time.
Yeah, right?
You get hypnotized, too. That's actually one of the dangers is that sort of road hypnosis where you just kind of, oh.
I could see
that. Which is why they have the little on the side of the
road.
So that if that's you, you wake up quick. Coming in late one night to Newark from overseas, I missed a connecting flight. It was scary, but I slept on my coat on the floor next to the Delta counter. Get close up like a wall behind your back and everything's going to be safe. 847 on News Radio 92.3. That's our frivolous topic for the day. So just, you know, a little bit of fun, a little bit of different. Something you can, I don't know, ask your coworkers or talk about with your kids over dinner, whatever. Hey, you know, we always talk about Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty being these, you know, fantastic realtor team, and she just sells all these homes, 230 homes. I was reading some of the reviews that people have posted online. Here's one from Ryan. It says, Christina is the best. Due to a serious health issue about 6 months ago, we decided to move closer to our children. In looking for a realtor, we saw that Christina had a proven track record in sales. After giving her a call, she recommended a price and sold our home in 4 days. If that wasn't enough, that's the point about her. It's always more, right? If that wasn't enough, after we relocated to out of state, she spent many hours ensuring a storm-related storm shutter issue was resolved. You will not go wrong if you use Christina for your next home purchase or sale. Merle was the person's name. There's a different name up on the top of the thing. But yeah, that's the point, like above and beyond. She is the definition of above and beyond in so many different things I've talked to her about. So if you're looking for a realtor, thinking about buying or selling, or just have questions you want answered, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Join Sonia with Chill Out Cryo Spa today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can achieve your body goals with body sculpting or pain reduction sessions at Chill Out Cryo Spa. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how today at 10:30 with Chill Out Cryo Spa and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't miss Sibling Harmony Trio, Girl Named Tom, live at the Pensacola Sanger Theater on Friday, September 15th.
Oh, 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 until I sing, I'll sing my homesick melody.
Experience the familial harmonies and heartfelt performances of the first ever trio to win NBC's The Voice on September the 15th. Reserved seat tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Ferris Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your health care costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Ferris Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ghost Rider, this is Strike. We have unknown aircraft, inbound Mustang. Your vector 090 for bogey.
Gonna affect some of you, maybe not that many of you, but it's gonna affect some of you in a very unpleasant way. They're doubling the price of the Baldwin Beach Express toll bridge.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's gonna be $5 each way.
So 10 bucks if you just want to save yourself some time to go to the wharf.
Yeah, instead of going around, which is, you know, it is a long way around, no doubt. It's helpful. It's $2.75 now. It's going to be $5. And I think that is August 30th. This is the release. This would be next Wednesday. Or maybe it's already. Baldwin County Bridge Company. So this is not, you know, this is not like LDOT, I guess. It's a private company that's operating this. And pardon me for not understanding all of this so well, but there's been this kind of issue, and I just don't follow it as closely because it's Alabama, but they're trying to build a free bridge alternative. And there was some kind of a lawsuit where it was held up for a while, and I guess that's back on. And there's a discount for locals, $1 a trip. And if you're a hospitality service worker, you get $2 a trip, but that's still not very cheap. The statement from LDOT about this, you ready for this?
Yes.
I've never heard a government agency public release in this tone, okay? This is just the bridge company's corporate greed. That's from LDOT.
Really?
You the ones who are putting a toll on I-10, by the way? Oh, anyway, back to this.
There it is.
This is just the bridge company's corporate greed. We respect the Alabama Supreme Court's ruling that the bad faith claim made by the BCBC, that's the company, has failed. We look forward to restarting construction of the new free bridge as soon as possible to help reduce traffic congestion and provide an additional evacuation route. With regard to BCBC's choice to increase their tolls, the new bridge being constructed will operate toll-free for everyone forever. This is a much better deal for the people of Alabama than granting BCBC a 50-year monopoly with the ability to raise tolls on non-Baldwin County residents without limit. Today's announcement by BCBC reaffirms that LDOT made the right decision to decline the toll company's proposal. In my life, I've never heard a government agency release a press release like that. So,
Wow,
that's a lot of pent up. We can't say anything. So, there you go. Wow. All right. But, you know, like I said, the bad news is it's no longer $2.75. Now it's $5 $5 each way. 8:53 on News Radio 92.3. There's something else out. I don't know. There's a bunch of Alabama stories that I saw yesterday, including that the president of Austell has resigned. An interim president's been named. There's a lot of backstory on this. But even though they've got these new contracts, they're just, you know, they've had problems. Like, their projected revenue was going to be $37 million, and now they're saying it's either going to be zero to maybe a $6.5 million loss for the year. Very disappointing because they've picked up the TATS award for the new ships that they're going to be building, but they didn't make good projections based on the inflation, and so their costs have outgrown their, you know, what they thought was going to be the base for profit on the ship. So it's, anyway, like, there's a lot of backstory here, but Austell's in a bit of a transition year. Let's just describe it that way. And then you had this. You know how Alabama has banned abortion, right? They're one of the most restrictive states after the Dobbs ruling. So the Attorney General, Steve Marshall, and there's a law in the books about facilitating, I guess. And so what they're talking about now is whether they can legally, criminally punish people for assisting women who go out of state. And the opponents, the ACLU and the Yellowhammer Fund, are saying, how can you restrict somebody for giving somebody information, advice, on how to get an abortion out of state or providing travel? Well, you know, if it's a crime, facilitating, aiding, and abetting a crime is also a crime. So the Alabama Attorney General, Steve Marshall, claims that they do have the ability to punish anybody. And that's why now they're stopping doing advertising in the state in giving them information about where they can legally secure abortions, which, look, as a pro-lifer, you know, fewer abortions is a better world. But this is a pretty wild kind of legal terrain, because what they're saying is this is free speech. This is just advice and information. But the attorney general is saying the criminal conduct is a conspiracy, that they are engaging in the provision of information in order to help somebody, you know, conduct a crime, even though, you know, out of state, it's not a crime. Giving them information in state contrary to law is a crime. So this is not settled, right? This is not a settled law, but this is something that's it's going to be very interesting. Tuesday is going to be the first hearing on this. A judge is scheduled to hear it. 8:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And again, watching this accident, I-10 eastbound. It's at mile marker 8, but it has things backed up, as you can imagine, quite a way now on I-10, backed up past the Pine Forest exit. This is eastbound. If you see an accident or a slowdown, text in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, this was an... I got to say, this is an odd note, okay? Chief Paul Williams, Fire Department, Escambia County Fire Rescue, put out a note yesterday that ECFR, Escambia Fire Rescue, had responded to two garage fires, the 18th and the 19th, so you know, not quite 2 weeks ago, both resulting from lithium ion batteries overheating in the garages, which you've heard these stories, like, you know, people have the surfboards or the laptops or any of this kind of stuff. Well, in this case, one of them was a lawnmower. And I can see the picture here. And what it looks like is somebody took an enormous amount of heat to a lawnmower. All that's left is kind of like the outline of it and a couple of wheels laying flat on the ground and burned. The lawnmower doesn't exist anymore. It was burned to oblivion by this fire. And luckily, no major damage other than that. They did discover it early. But here's what Paul Williams said, Deputy Fire Chief Williams said. While battery-powered equipment such as vehicles, lawnmowers, and bikes are good for the environment and reducing emissions, we want our citizens to know the dangers associated with lithium-ion batteries. These devices are equipment when charged in your home. These devices and equipment, when charged in your home, can pose dangers and should be monitored closely. Fires resulting from lithium-ion batteries intensify significantly and quickly, leaving little time for people to react. So things like, you know, put the battery in the device the right way, only use the right battery for the right device, follow the manufacturer's instructions, use the official charging cord. But this one, this is the one, do not keep charging it after it's fully charged. This is the one that caught me by surprise a little bit, because it said keep batteries at room temperature when possible. Do not charge them at temperatures below 32 or above 105 Fahrenheit. Well, it's in a garage in Florida.
Okay. Yeah. What are you supposed to do?
When the temperature's, you know, three digits. And inside your garage may be worse. I mean, I don't know what the... You don't want to bring it inside. Bring the lawnmower inside to keep it from... You know, if it's your car battery. I mean, I'm genuinely have these questions, but... They also say don't dispose of them in the trash because they're hazardous waste. Bring them to the landfill. But, man, that's scary just to think about. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Time for
Future News.
Future News, when Candy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. There's a petition a couple hundred thousand people are asking, including, and it's started by an organization of Native Americans. They want to change the commander's name back to the Washington Redskins. Will they?
No.
0% chance. 0%.
Then why do you ask?
Well, because it's a thing in the news. Okay. Will the Attorney General and therefore law enforcement prosecute people who assist and inform Alabama residents for traveling out of state to get abortions? Will they be allowed to do that?
No.
I think yes.
I think no.
I think it's going to wind up being yes. Medical marijuana or just marijuana in general, maybe be delisted at the federal level or at least listed in a lower classification. Will that happen? Will it free up banking money for marijuana sellers around the nation?
Yes.
Yeah, yes and yes. It's based on the way the country's going. I don't think it's any argument that's going to happen.
News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.